You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout is in the house. Good morning, sir.
Ron, it is so good to see you here on the 31st of August, 2023. Good morning. It's great to see you, Ron.
Good to be here. Good to be seen.
Man, excellent. Yeah, absolutely. And a gorgeous day.
Gorgeous day.
And you probably already made note, the super moon. What did they call that? The super blue moon last
super
night?
Blue.
Yeah, the super blue, baby.
Yes.
Sounds like a song, doesn't it? You know, I can't believe there's not a country song about that yet.
The Elvis has one called Blue Moon of Kentucky, but not Super Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Well, Moomers has Blue Moon ice cream.
Yes, they do.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not the only ones who have that stuff. Whoever wants. Why do the kids always go for that?
It's like, it's pretty.
Yeah, I guess.
Bright and cheery.
Yeah. Just give me chocolate. I'm good, right? Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you do have a question of a financial nature, you are certainly welcome to call or text. Ron, if you would.
You can use the telephone and call 231 area code 947-0023 or send us a text message at 833-728-1140. That's 833-728-1140.
I actually printed off. Now, what is this super blue moon? A super moon is a full moon or a new moon that nearly coincides with perigee, the closest that the moon comes to the Earth in its elliptic orbit, resulting in a slightly larger than usual apparent size of the moon as viewed from Earth. So last night I took a picture about 9:30. Walked outside.
It was like daylight, wasn't it?
Crazy. Uh-huh. Right. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I got up in the middle of the night and looked. Yes. The light was just coming in through the window and I looked at the moon and it was so bright, and for a second I'm like, am I going to go blind? Because I looked directly at it.
Well, luckily we had clear skies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And then this morning out walking, about 7:05 or so, the moon's just going down, and there comes the sun.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. We'll take it in. It's supposed to be a gorgeous weekend for Labor Day.
Hot and sunny.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sold.
Yes, enjoy
it.
Enjoy everyone. And there's Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Dennis. It's good to be here today.
Great to have you, our own RISCP and managing executive, talking about a lot of things this morning related to elder abuse, preventing retirement account scams and elder abuse scams. We're going to be talking about today. What should you do and what can you know? And before we get started with the show itself, we've got Deanne Jennings here with some stats, and the stats are so good and perfect, I think, for the subject that we're discussing. I'm going to change it up a bit this morning, and we asked Deanne to start with these, if you would. Good morning, by the way, Deanne
stats.
Jennings.
Good morning.
Hello,
Dennis.
Deanne David. Deanne
First.
Jennings.
Hello. Jennings, yes.
Happy last day of August, everyone.
You bet.
So this is an article that I found entitled, "The United States of Elder Fraud, How Prevalent is Elder Financial Abuse in Each State?" by Paul Bischoff. And it says only 1 in 23.5 incidents of elder fraud are reported. 1 in 23.5. According to a 2011 report from the New York City Department from the Aging and Cornell University, here are some of the key findings at a national level based on that figure. An average loss per case is $30,192. And that was calculated by averaging the mean reported loss from those organizations, which were the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Internet Crime Complaint Center, State Adult Protective Services, and the law enforcement. According to FinCEN reports, deposit accounts were the most common product involved with elder fraud cases, which reported 62%, followed by debit cards, which were 18%, and credit cards, 9%.
What's interesting is that only 1 in 23.5, I think, incidents of elder fraud are reported to authorities. Mm-hmm. So, we can only always kind of guess where that comes from. And so I pulled up this article, Why Elder Financial Abuse Goes Unreported. Number one, the abuser is a trusted family member or caregiver. So we're going to be talking about that some here today. Two, the abuse takes place little by little over time. Three, the one I guess number one was shame and fear. Yeah. Just embarrassment mm-hmm. at the fact that I got taken in mm-hmm. by that situation. So I think I would advise anyone, if you can, keep an open mind to this, because we all think we're not going to be subject to it. No, that's never going to happen to me. And it's amazing the number of clients that we've had that have almost gotten taken in. In fact, Heidi, you had a great story related to yours, which we'll get to when we get to your information, about clients actually calling you in the middle of these kinds of situations. And I've been there as well with my clients. So calling, this seems a little bit suspicious, or what about this situation? And we've also had in situations where we have actually intervened for clients to stop them because we knew intuitively that it didn't make sense. It didn't pass the smell test. Well, I'm not going to get taken in. Please, if you will, again, keep an open mind to these things, because they are serious. And they often happen, not always, but often happen perhaps when we're in a weaker state. Something's happened. We've had some emotional stuff that's happened. Our health has declined to a certain degree, either emotionally, physically, or whatever, thinking-wise. So please keep an open mind to these things. And the general proviso, if you will, is have a variety of folks that you're trusting in. The community of you that you have, I think, is incredibly important in dealing with these things, because you can go to someone and say, I'm not sure about this. Be open as you can in terms of sharing these things. Boy, I encountered this sort of thing, or this is going on. So as we get into these specifics, we'll talk about these, and Heidi has several examples of these situations and the types of abuse that are going on that are only getting more and more sophisticated and more reality-based. We think, well, this sounds really real. Mm-hmm. So
another one that I guess it wouldn't be a scam, it would be considered legit, but a lot of nationally recognized nonprofit groups will hire firms to do telemarketing. And mm-hmm. once they latch on to a senior citizen, if they detect that person's vulnerable, they'll bleed them dry. They'll, mm-hmm. Just give, how about $1,000? How about $1,000 a month, If you don't, this cause is going to be in trouble, and you're so helpful. And so you've got to keep an eye on your relatives in that department, too.
No kidding.
And I think that's such incredible. A good point. It's okay. Do be suspicious.
Yeah.
Ask questions. Because we've even had people, we've been sending out DocuSigns. And I've personally taken calls with people saying, I got this DocuSign. It says it's from Financial Design. Is that true? Yes. Thank you for calling. If it's true, we'd be happy to help you and say, yes, that is from us. And
we can confirm when it was sent, mm-hmm. the details of it, mm-hmm. all of it, so yeah. that you can know.
Thank you for it's calling. Thank you, you bet. For being
and
suspicious.
That's one of the best yeah. things they say in the list of how to help prevent yourself becoming a victim of the fraud is checking it out. Take the extra time, make that phone call and say, is this email from you? It's not insulting. You are just protecting and having good discipline exactly. and checking these things out. So exactly. it's okay to call and confirm. It's a good thing to do if you're not sure.
Honestly, these situations are so negative that I really hesitated. And we talked about this yeah. before the show even, to share this information because it's just not fun. So let's dive in together, shall we? All right. The perils of retirement account scams. This is from Ed Slott's September newsletter. So this is where this began and why we're discussing this subject. Unfortunately, elder abuse is all too common. This is how the article starts. I'm reading directly. And as a pair of recent cases demonstrate, when the abuse involves a criminal, in these cases, an adult child, stealing a parent's retirement funds, the ramifications can be, I wrote, triply crushing. I add triply because it's a child that actually did the deed. Not only can the victims lose their nest egg, but they may have to pay income taxes on the stolen money. So they're not only having a situation where their own child stole the funds, two, they're going to have to pay the tax because they drew the money out of the retirement accounts. The IRS wants their share, fortunately or unfortunately. Thirdly, the monies have been stolen. The monies often are gone. So in this particular case called the Gomez case, decided on July 17th of 23, Suzanne Anderson, a child of the Gomez's, began to spin a web of never-ending lies to her parents. She convinced them that the former business manager, her father, and other former employees had fraudulently opened her former business manager of her father's and other former employees had fraudulently opened business accounts using Mr. Gomez's personal information and were using the accounts to defraud internet customers. During 2017, Anderson went to her parents on more than 100 occasions, each time repeating the lie that the attorney needed money to keep Mr. Gomez out of jail. So she spun this whole web of deceit, and every time the couple, without hesitation, paid their daughter, Susan Anderson, expecting she would forward the funds to the attorney. In fact, the whole story was a scam. No attorney had been hired, and Anderson kept the money. The couple received a total of almost $1.2 million in IRA distributions and pension payments during 17, and handed over about $725,000 directly to her. She, following an investigation which led to her arrest, Anderson pled guilty to 7 counts of fraud and theft and was sentenced to 25 years in jail.
Jeez.
25 years. Mm. And just to see, this is why, this is relatively new, July of this year. Right. So as the responsibility shift has occurred, and individuals are having these responsibilities for the retirement accounts and funds, here comes the other side of it. Those who would try to profit illegally from the proceeds. Just devastating. The Gomez's originally included the $1.2 million as income on their 2017 federal tax return, but then sought a refund because they hadn't received it. They got it, but yet they'd given it to their daughter. Well, the IRS disallowed the refund, and the case wound up in federal court. The judge concluded that, astonishingly, the tax law required him to side with the IRS. So the 2017 IRA and pension distributions were taxable income to the Gomez's under Section 408D of the tax code, which provides that any amount paid or distributed out of an IRA account shall be included in gross income. The couple were the taxable distributees of the funds since they personally received them, even though it was Anderson who was the one who had constructive receipt or beneficiary or beneficial distributee, if you will, of those amounts.
I wonder what she did with all that money.
It doesn't say in the article, mm-hmm. and it also doesn't say that she was able to pay them back.
Right.
Now, what's interesting about this is if they were able to get those funds back, those amounts could have been returned to the IRA and possibly then would not have been taxable under the restorative payments rule. Strangely, theft or fraud are not included in the list of situations where self-certification, that's another way to say, I want to allow the extension of the 60-day rollover deadline. 60-day rollover deadline simply means that you draw monies out of an IRA. You have 60 days to return them without paying a tax or penalty. So that wouldn't work. Secondly, however, if they do recover their losses, that's what we I just had discussed with you here, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
These victims, the Gomez's, may be able to roll back the funds under the IRS restorative payments doctrine. In 2004, the IRS issued 11 related PLRs, or private letter rulings, that permitted lawsuit settlements to be rolled over to IRAs. So you see, this article is going to get a lot of play in coming months, this case, I think, because we're going to see more and more of this, and how do we get these payments back into the IRA so that in this case, the Gomez's don't have to pay not only the tax, but huge amounts of tax, huge amounts of tax because of the significant increase in the tax cost itself, because of their increased income, because their income ballooned that year. Instead of paying perhaps 12 to 15% in tax, they're paying bracket. 35 to 40% in tax.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's like it income. Just doubles and triples yeah. mm-hmm. the tax amount because of those significant lump sums coming. You see what's going on here. It just gets worse and mm-hmm. worse.
Right, because it's bad enough they got defrauded and their money was taken and all that, but then to get a huge tax bill on top of that, yeah. that just yeah. crushes you.
Oh, let's talk about crushing.
Withdrawals were not deductible as a business expense because none of the payments to Anderson were used to pay any actual business expenses.
Yeah. So a great note here on how an advisor can help, because this is to the advisor community, and I think this is extremely helpful. I think it will be to you, the listening audience, as well. The Gomez case is a dramatic illustration of the crucial role that an advisor can play as a watchdog over a family's finances. Attentive financial advisors can add significant value. When engaged and observant advisor surely would have noticed the large IRA distributions, which we do. I was thinking, when we sit down with a client and we're talking through with him, all right, here's the current balance. Here's what your returns have been so far this year. Here's what additions and distributions you took. Often a client will say, for instance, we took $35,000 back in 18. Yes. You recall? Oh, yes. We were fixing up a house. So you had that kind of conversation back and forth. Oh, yeah. We did the work on the house or whatever that might be, so that they can see how much they drew. But that's one way.
You find that out through personal one-on-one conversations. But if all of a sudden somebody starts saying larger amounts every month, allocations, does that show up? Is there a trigger on your computer system, or is it just through your conversations with clients?
It's through our own conversations with clients, but also our staff.
Right.
So our staff will raise the red flag to us, and in essence, okay, we've got to raise a significant sum here in this account. What assets make sense to liquidate? And we'll often say, what are they needing the funds for? What are we doing here?
Right.
So
and
those conversations go back and forth with our other staff. So that's one way. Another way is having a variety of people involved, not just, if possible, one child, but someone else overseeing. Is someone else getting an additional statement? Okay. Is it more than one child? Or is it also your accountant or even attorney as well? Or are you reviewing continually with your financial advisor? Is there some consistency in those reviews?
Right. Okay. And we get to know our clients over time.
We do.
You get to know their patterns and behavior. And we've noticed and caught things because, like, all of a sudden a huge amount, somebody's asking for a huge amount to go out of their account. And you're like, well, that's not like them. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't usually do that. So then we get on the phone and we're like, so what's going on? And a lot, most of the time there's a perfectly legitimate reason or why they're doing it. But then there's always once in a while, very seldom, but we'll find something that we want to question them a little further about and find out the motivation behind.
In essence, protecting your interests is in the interest of the advisor. You know, we're obviously, as the ad sets, we're not going to catch everything. We're not. Mm-mm. You know, we you know, if it's a smaller amount that continues to come out and you're simply, you know, you're helping a child with whatever, we're not going to always notice those things. You know that. But when there are changes in those situations, often we will catch it. Being in a position to act as a gatekeeper for retirement funds and to detect and question this kind of fraud and elder abuse can provide tangible value to a family. This is, again, the advice that Ed Slott, his newsletter here, is giving to financial advisors. By contrast, a trillion-dollar fund company is essentially just an order taker, and that is the case. These behemoth organizations cannot know their clients as intimately as an advisor does, and consequently are more susceptible to fraud through forgery and other deceptive acts. This is one of the ways an advisor can successfully compete with the largest fund companies in the world. And I think, as a result of just this one article, I was thinking this morning, again, it just points up the value of having someone on your team. Because do these things get any simpler? No. The laws have only gotten more complex. In fact, as we're seeing here with the Roth change that's made to retirement accounts, Heidi's going to hopefully have a couple minutes to discuss that. But on and on it goes. So as those responsibilities increase, continue as appropriate and as you can to expand your network of people with an active interest and concern for you and your health, your maintenance, and your financial situation. All right? So, bottom line, for those of you with parents or those of you who are parents, as Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. It was all about relationships, even with Gorbachev going down that. He negotiated some amazing peace agreements with Russia, but he started with a relationship first. Why do we bring up Gorbachev? Because he called Gorbachev to account in several situations, including the giant Berlin Wall. Yeah, so given that reality, it was about the relationship first, and then all the other things came through it in terms of negotiations. So keep the relationships as much as possible with those around you strong, so that they can weigh in and help you as needed.
You want to hear a little clip of former President Reagan?
I do, if you happen to have it.
Continue to work to make sure that the Soviet Union that eventually emerges from this process is a less threatening one. What it all boils down to is this. I want the new closeness to continue, and it will, as long as we make it clear that we will continue to act in a certain way as long as they continue to act in a helpful manner. If and when they don't, at first, pull your punches. If they persist, pull the plug. It's still trust but verify.
There you go. From the words of Ronald Reagan.
That was incredible. Thank you, Ron. Hadn't thought we had access to that quickly. Appreciate it, sir. Before we get going in with the information from Heidi, we have upcoming Lunch and Learns. Medicare 101, that class is almost full September 20th.
Yes, I think there's one more spot.
One more spot. One more spot.
Well, we can put you on a waiting list.
Exactly.
If we have a cancellation.
You bet. That's Dawn McConnell and Laverna Whitcup coming over on the 20th of September to talk about Medicare. Roth IRAs, October 18th. And these are each on Wednesdays, correct? Yes,
correct.
At noon. 1 hour.
The third Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the third Wednesday of every month. Thank you, Heidi.
There you go.
October 18th, Roth IRAs learned about the benefits of this special type of tax-advantaged retirement account. Should I convert my 401k to a Roth? What about my IRAs to Roth? Are there specific types of assets? There are all kinds of ways you can convert funds to a Roth, and could it then make sense, both tax-wise and financially, for you? Lastly, John Sluice is going to be teaching a class on taxes November 15th. Know Your Tax Bracket with John Sluice, November 15th, the third Wednesday of November. So if you would like to sign up for that, the phone number at our office, 231-947-3992, or Beth at Prout Financial Design, Beth@ProutFinancialDesign.com.
And you can go to the website as well. And if you go under classes, there's a little link button there that will let you fill out that you would like to go to the class.
Great. ProutFinancialDesign.com. Thank you. So, Heidi, yes. Let's talk about this Roth change, Roth catch-up rule change.
Yes, this is late-breaking news from the IRS. This came out last Friday on August 25th, that the IRS is adjusting some of the rules that happened in the legislation that passed last December. We call that Secure 2.0, and we've talked about that on the show. So what the IRS did is they gave employer plans, so that would be 401Ks, 403Bs, 457s, two more years to comply with the controversial ruling requiring catch-up contributions for high-paid employees to be made on a Roth basis.
Yeah, so the administrators of these plans said, not so fast. We can't administratively catch up to this new rule set about by Congress in Secure 2.0.
Right, and that's exactly what happened, is they petitioned, and the IRS has said that they are going to push that deadline out to January 1st of 2026 instead of starting January 1st of next year, 2024, because they just don't know how to do it, and they don't have the hardware and software all configured to be able to track that.
AI has not visited upon the retirement planning industry to the degree that they can turn on a dime and get that done with their own documents.
So really, that just gives you two more years to plan for this, especially if you're a higher paid employee in a company plan. You'll have time to go in and talk to your advisor and find out, you know, what's our strategy going forward.
Excellent. All right. Now, the next part, avoiding scams and scammers. Some great points here, Heidi, please.
Yes. So I found this article on the FDIC consumer news site, and they talked about avoiding scams and scammers. And we've mentioned a couple already. What are things that you can do to help protect yourself? Well, some of those things are, do not open email from people you don't know. If you don't know, or you haven't requested or put your email address in for a certain company or entity, don't click on any links in that email and delete that email. Be careful with links on new website addresses. If you don't know that you're at the right site, don't click on those links. And secure your personal information. Before providing any personal information, date of birth, social security numbers, passwords, make sure that you're working on a secure network. A couple other things, stay informed on the latest threats. We talk about them here on the show, but also in the news, you'll hear what's the newest scam that's going on. And just being aware, using passwords is another way. And update your software and programs and your operating systems. A lot of times they'll be putting fixes in all of these new updates, and that helps keep that firewall protection a little bit stronger for you in the long run. So you want to make sure your devices are updated.
Good idea to change your passwords periodically, and don't use the same password for all of your accounts.
Mm. Yes.
Because if they get it for one, they'll figure out the others.
It can be quite confusing. So Schwab had another article, and they mentioned a few more. They said, do not assume that you are speaking with an institution based on caller ID. a lot of times they can mask that. And they can make it look like they're calling from a certain company mm-hmm. or not. Maybe call back and verify before you give out that information.
Yeah, so if you're getting a surprise phone call and you're even suspicious to say, well, I'm going to call them back. I'm going to call you back. If you're not certain or they seem unfamiliar or you're not following, just take the number and or look up the number on your own. And call them back. A great way to add a sense of have the security added.
Right, and you can check out the organization as well. Maybe do a little search, and if you see that they have been news articles that they've been in fraud scams and stuff, that will give you an idea that maybe this isn't a legitimate request.
Yes.
So, yeah. All right, so moving on, what are some of the scams that are out there? Well, one is called money mules, and that's when people will approach you, a stranger, and ask for you to open a bank account or asks for access to your bank account, your debit card, or they may even ask you to purchase virtual currency or gift cards for someone else's benefit. Now, gift cards is a very common way that they scam people. And in fact, my story that Dennis alluded to, I had a client call me. He was on the way to the store and he was going to be buying some gift cards. And he said, it just made me feel uncomfortable and I wanted to call you to see what you thought. And so we talked about it and I cautioned him. And he's like, you know, I'm going to go home and look at this again and think about it. I'm not just going to go do it. I agreed with him and I strongly encouraged him to check that out. Usually, if someone is asking you to buy a gift card, that's a trigger versus if you just want to give a gift.
I think on this program you had a story where AI, through AI, where they can fake your voice. They faked a young woman's voice who mm-hmm. called the grandma. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, I'm in jail or I need money.
Mm-hmm.
And grandma thought, well, it sounds like, you know, Dorothy.
That's sure.
A fake AI voice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So call Dorothy back.
Yeah.
In this case, call Dorothy yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right?
And I think in that case, they actually found the young woman. Mm-hmm. And somebody's like, I'm sitting here with her. She's not kidnapped. She's right here
with me.
Yeah. And those grandparent scams, those are what they're called, they go towards the emotion, like Dennis said. Mm-hmm. They are going to try to get you in fear or something they know is very important to you or something precious, so like your grandchildren. So you always want to verify, just like Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. So verify those ask, especially if they involve money, gift cards, giving out personal information. Another way people are scammed is the romance scammers. These can happen with all the different internet dating sites and stuff where they will try to gain your trust with a fake profile and build up trust, and then they start asking for money. Mm. So you want to be cautious in that area and make sure that it's not a romance.
I've heard stories of acquaintances losing hundreds of thousands of dollars through these romance scammers, often overseas, scamming people, scamming elderly folks out of tens and thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's the worst.
As Nancy Reagan said, just say no.
Thanks, Nancy.
No.
Isn't that interesting, though? Again, this is an emotional hook. You know, romance or fear, it's all emotional.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Because that people will overlook their own caution or their own conscience that's mm-hmm. telling them no because they really want this thing or the emotions overtake that.
Override. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, another way that they scam you is an imposter scam. Those are when they pretend to be somebody they're not. Maybe they pretend they're from the IRS or they pretend they're from another government organization or agency. So you can always call back to verify. It says here that the FDIC or other government agencies do not send unsolicited correspondence asking for money or sensitive personal information and will never threaten you or demand that you pay by gift card or wiring money or digital currency.
Now, the messages here, this says, the article says, the messages might ask you to confirm or update confidential personal financial information, such as bank account numbers or whatever. So, you know, at first it can sound legitimate, but often it is not.
Right. And I mean, I've gotten those calls. My mom's gotten those calls. And you think it sounds legit. And then something, you're like, wait a minute. Why are they asking me for this? So always stop and verify. You can cut off that conversation. Mm-hmm. You can call back the entity and find out if that was an actual phone call. Mm-hmm. It's not rude. It's not wrong. You're just protecting your own interest and keeping your information safe. Mm-hmm. So another scam are the mortgage and foreclosure scams. This is another way they get to your emotions. They say that your property's about to be foreclosed or there's some problem with your mortgage. You could lose your home. That's a big fear for people, so they'll use that as well.
They call them mortgage relief scams.
Yes.
So often these are threatening. They will try to threaten you. And they use that fear, in essence, that something could happen if you don't respond immediately. Don't do that. Mm. Don't take the bait on that one.
Right. And then there's a scam that mostly hits commercial or business entities, and that's called ransomware. And you might have heard of this in the news. This is where a virus is clicked on by someone in the organization, and it gets into the computer, and it forbids the people from getting the information in their computer. And they will only unlock the information if they pay a ransom. And this usually happens for large companies or organizations. And but it is, as an employee of wherever you work, you still have to be careful and be skeptical about things that you're not aware of or you're not familiar with, people you don't know asking you to click on different links.
Now, this article, again, is through the FDIC Consumer News, Avoiding Scams and Scammers, from October of 21, and still great advice. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Heidi. This is so if you do want to get this yourself, obviously a great resource for many of you. Deanne, go,
so
please.
We're
more
just
going
to do more stats from the article I've referred to earlier in the show. They said more than 1 in 10 elderly people in the U.S. fell victim to elder fraud in the last year. 1 in 10. And that's that have been reported. Obviously, there are probably a lot more cases that were not reported because of shame or embarrassment. Over 7.8 million incidents of elder fraud occur every year in total. This year, with the new 21-2022 figures, our team has found that while cases of elder financial abuse in the U.S. have dipped, dropping from nearly 8.7 million estimated cases in 2020 to 7.8 million cases in 21-22, the amount lost to elder fraud has risen exponentially. Over the last year, the cost of elder financial exploitation has grown by over 54%, rising from $177 billion in 2020 to around $269.5 billion last year.
So this only accentuates the importance of really paying attention to this, because the amounts have risen dramatically and these people are convincing, and there are also paid well because of all the dollars that they're able to abscond with.
Yeah, and obviously the scheming, the fraud is more complex, probably.
Yes, mm-hmm.
With
getting
the
more
amounts
sophisticated.
Rising.
All
sophisticated,
the time.
That's the good word. The Internet Crime Complaint Center reported that total losses reported by elderly victims increased 84% from 2021. Tech and customer support schemes were the most common type of fraud, while the amounts lost to investment fraud and cryptocurrency scams increased by 300 to 350% respectively.
So that's since 2021.
Yes. Yeah.
So three times.
Mm-hmm. Man, and cryptocurrency is a scam now. One last stat, the top five U.S. states for elder fraud in total losses per year. Ron,
can you
want to give it a go? What's the number one state?
California.
Ding, 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 ding. Good job. Wow. California comes in number one at $40.2 billion. Texas, number two at $19.2 billion. Number three is New York at $16.3 billion. Number four is Florida at $15.4 billion. And Ohio is in fifth place at $12 billion.
Hmm.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So good, the realities are significant, and obviously protect yourself out there, okay?
Thank you all from Prout Financial Design, New Retirement Radio with Mr. Dennis Prout, Heidi Cartwright, and Deanne Jennings at proutfinancialdesign.com. Thank you all.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Ron.